You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back, Buffalo Bills fans. It's Matt Warren, editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com. The Buffalo Bills are 5-1 after their victory over the Miami Dolphins. It wasn't as, a complete victory as many Bills fans wanted it to be, but 5-1, second place in the AFC, still a pretty good place to be. As always, we take your questions at our voicemail line, 716-508-0405. You can tweet us questions using at Rumblings Q&A. That's with the word and spelled out in the middle. We take Instagram messages at Buff Rumblings. Facebook messages, you can leave comments in the comment section at BuffaloRumblings.com. You can email us using BuffaloRumblings@SBNation.com. There's lots of ways to get in touch with the show. And as the Bills turn their attention toward the Philadelphia Eagles and the rest of their schedule, we've got lots of questions jam-packed into this week's episode. So don't go anywhere. It's Buffalo Rumblings Q&A. My five takeaways from the game against the Miami Dolphins start with Tre'Davious White, who really turned this game around on his own, with the Dolphins driving to make it at the very least an 8-point game, if not a 2-possession lead for the Miami Dolphins. Tre'Davious White steps in front of a Ryan Fitzpatrick pass at the 2-yard line. The Bills then marched 98 yards down the field. On the next possession, Tre'Davious White forced a fumble on the only catch he allowed all game. So he allows 0 catches all game except for one. And on that one, he knocks the ball out and Jerry Hughes recovers the fumble. The Bills score a few plays later and 14 points just like there. Actually 15 points. I forgot about the 2-point conversion. So it was a really big swing, all based on Tre'Davious White just playing his ass off. He did a great job, and you know he wants that national recognition, and this is the kind of play that he needs to do to get that, turning an entire game around on its by himself. The speaking of the defense, the first half defense was the worst of 2019. They allowed back-to-back 75-yard touchdown drives from Ryan Fitzpatrick. He was playing really well in the first half, but the Bills just did not have an answer for the Miami Dolphins. And it's not like they had just, you know, an overwhelming amount of talent on that side of the ball. They were able to lock it down in the second half. They started doing some more things with Micah Hyde, bringing him down into the box, allowing Levi Wallace a little bit more wiggle room on some of his over-the-top help. He didn't have to play so short because he knew he had some help from Micah Hyde coming down. And I'm sure you'll see some analysis of that over the course of the next couple days from us or Cover One or somewhere out there. It was also obvious that the team missed Matt Milano in that defense. Maurice Alexander did not do great. Lorenzo Alexander didn't do great in coverage. So they missed Matt Milano for sure. He's just such an integral cog in their defense. And whether they want to admit it or not, they really missed him on Sunday. My third talking point from the game was the cardiac Bills. Buffalo just keeps coming out, and whether it's in the third quarter or in this case against the Dolphins in the first half, they just keep building up these deficits that they have to overcome, and thankfully Josh Allen's able to do it. But if you look at Josh Allen, he went 6 for 6 for 73 yards and a touchdown throw on the go-ahead drive. He was 10 for 11 with 2 touchdowns in the second half, but he was not that good in the first half. He was 1 for 5 on one of the drives, and or at one point in the game. So it's just, for whatever reason, the Bills haven't been able to put together four quarters, and it's becoming worrisome at this point. Speaking of which, the Bills contributed to Josh Allen's struggles with some drops in the first half. Dawson Knox has four on the year. Cole Beasley had a drop in the two-minute drill before the end of the first half. They can't all blame it on Josh Allen when it bounces off Dawson Knox's hands when he's, you know, trying to turn and look upfield, trying to score a touchdown instead of just securing the first down. And that, of course, leads to the last bullet point, which was they need touchdowns, not field goals. Against the Dolphins, they were able to survive kicking three field goals, and they were moving the ball. They had a lot of yards on offense in the first half, but they weren't able to convert that to touchdowns. So it was with the number of offensive plays that they ran, the sheer number of scoring drives that they had was great to see, but we need them punching it in for touchdowns, which they've been typically pretty good at this year. It's not something that they've struggled with until this game against the Miami Dolphins. So as they move forward, I think they can correct that for sure. And really all the problems that they're having is just inconsistency. If you just write one word at the top of the page, inconsistency, you could probably fill an entire page of observations from the game and every game. They just need to keep working on becoming more and more consistent. Now on to your questions. After the game against the Miami Dolphins, the question I'm getting a lot this week is, how good really are the Buffalo Bills? Yeah, they've got a good record, but who have they beaten? They haven't beaten anybody. They haven't beaten any team with a winning record. But we say this all the time about the Patriots, and you know, when we're, I don't know, chasing other teams in the AFC playoff race other years, you just play the games that are in front of you. And if you beat those teams, then that means you're a good team, and that means you get to play in the playoffs. The Bills have shown a propensity to win games late, and we've seen so many Bills teams that have a propensity to lose games late. And so you see bad teams losing games, and the Bills aren't doing that. So does that mean they're good? I don't know. But they certainly are putting themselves in a position to win every single game that they're in. And if they protect the football, and if they continue to execute, even if it's inconsistently, they've proven that they can be in every game, even against the Patriots, who are, you know, out there demolishing other teams. So if they can keep doing that, they're going to be in every game. Now, they were in their playoff game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, where they lost 10-3. But you never had the sense that they could win it. This team is in every game, and you get the sense that they're going to win every game that they're in. That doesn't mean they're going to win every game. They're not going to go 15-1. But you get the feeling that they could win every game. And I guess at this point in their growth as a team and Josh Allen's growth as a quarterback, I think I'll take that for now. So are they good? Maybe. They're inconsistent. And that's the biggest problem, is that we can't really nail down, are they good or are they bad? They're both. And so that's the question I'm getting a lot this week, is are the Bills actually good? Yeah, I think they're good. They're also bad sometimes. To Twitter at Rumblings Q&A, we got a question in from Dave Bartles, who says, have we been so good over the years that we complain about how we win? This has been a really interesting conversation topic among Bills fans since the Bills beat the Dolphins. And there's a lot of people out there that are complaining about the way that the Bills won the game. They should have been able to put away an inferior opponent, and I'm not going to accept this mediocrity. There's other fans out there that are like, 5-1 is 5-1. I know Nick and Nolan got a nice little diatribe going on this when their podcast drops later this week, so make sure you download that to listen to it. But I'm definitely of the belief that a win is better than not winning, and all of the fans complaining about how they won are just an example of raised expectations since the season began. If you told Bills fans that they were going to be 5-1 after the first 6 weeks of the season, I think most of them would have been pretty happy. And while we might not be I don't know. We might not have the same goal that we had 2 months ago. Maybe 2 months ago, our goal was let's make the playoffs. And now we're looking at that and like, well, they can do some damage in the playoffs with this defense. And so we want to see them play better on offense and play more consistent on defense than they did against the Miami Dolphins so that they can actually do some big work against, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs or the Houston Texans or whoever they face in the playoffs. I don't fault Bills fans for having high expectations. They should have high expectations. I think this team has high expectations. Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have high expectations. They may have achieved them a year early or be in a position where the expectations ramped up a year early, maybe. I don't know if achieving them is the right way to say it. But yeah, expectations are growing. And when the Bills made the playoffs in, you know, Sean McDermott's first year, they changed their shirts from playoff caliber to championship caliber. And I think that's a good mind shift. They really need to be focused on how they can win and beat good teams, not just, you know, can we throttle the Dolphins in week 7 of the NFL season? Thanks for your question at Rumblings Q&A on Twitter. To the phone line, 716-508-0405.
Michael Brewer, Waynesboro, Mississippi. Reason why I'm calling is because I'm so tired of people downing the Buffalo Bills. We got a great team. We got a great quarterback. Everybody on offense plays, and I like it. If the rest of the NFL don't like it, forget them. Put that on the podcast.
I got to say, we don't get too many phone calls from Mississippi, so I like this. This is good. I keep getting the sense that Bills fans are being a little bit apologetic about the Bills have been winning their games. And whenever I see folks interacting on Twitter with fans from other fan bases, they seem to just be like, oh, I know, like we didn't do this or we didn't do that. I mean, just we don't have to do that. We can just say, hey, it's fun to watch our team actually be good for once. We have this self-doubt that's creeping in. We've got this apology streak that, you know, we don't deserve to be good. But I think that needs to end. And I think Bills fans need to just kind of turn around their psyche. And when they're interacting with other fans from around the league, I think it's okay to be confident and just be like, yeah, I'm glad we're winning. So I like this comment. Thanks all the way from Mississippi. 716-508-0405. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back to the phone lines at 716-508-0405.
Yeah, hi, this is BMAC. My Twitter feed is at BEEG888. Based out of Charlotte here and a longtime Buffalo Bills fan when I used to live in Williamsville. I still follow them here. I watch their games every week. And this week, my question for you is, you know, are the Bills as bad as the national media thinks they are? You know, you go to Pro Football Focus and you see that they're rated 20th. Even the Titans, after they beat them, were rated higher. You know, after the first half of the game against Miami, I was really starting to question myself. You know, maybe they are that bad. My question is, what do you think about that? Are they as bad as the national media is saying, or, you know, am I overreacting? Really look forward to hear what you have to say. Thanks.
Well, thanks for your question. I don't think that the national media thinks the Bills are bad. They're just overlooking them right now, mainly because of who they've played. And, you know, there's going to be some power rankings that come out on Tuesday that you're going to see the Bills in the top five or six teams, certainly in the top 10 most of the places. I don't think anyone's ignoring them, but they haven't beaten anybody. And when they have that big breakthrough game, I think you'll see more of that. You know, the San Francisco 49ers right now are undefeated. They're a media darling. The Bills are 5-1. They've got the third best record in the league, and folks really aren't talking about them just because they've been so inconsistent. And, you know, if they were laying beatdowns on teams, you'd see a ton of highlights and you'd see more talking heads talking about them. I'm not necessarily worried about it. In fact, I think it's probably better for this team that they don't have people talking them up on national media shows. I think it's better for them. And even when Sean McDermott was on Good Morning Football last week, and they asked him about, you know, Dawson Knox and his, you know, what was it, the hard run or whatever, the segment that they do, Sean McDermott really tamped that down. He's like, you know, we got a long way to go, and Dawson Knox knows that. And this team is just built on earning respect. And so if they got that respect, I think it'd be a little bit hard for them to deal with that. So I don't think the national media is necessarily down on them. They're just overlooking them. And when you look at those power rankings that you're talking about, maybe PFF ranks them low. Maybe Football Outsiders looks at them like they're not a great team. But you're going to see more Bills in the top 10 of power rankings this week than you're going to see them outside the top 10. Not that that really matters. As long as they keep winning, I don't think anyone's going to care. Thanks for your question at our voicemail line, 716-508-0405. Back to Twitter we go. G-Man Bills fan asks us, is Devin Singletary 100% healthy? He's too much of a weapon to be used the way he was today, and how little? Yeah, I think he's 100% healthy. He probably would have played before the bye week if he was fully healthy, but then they had a week off, and so, I mean, I'm assuming he's 100% healthy. He was a full participant in practice last week, and the Bills just chose not to give him the ball until the second quarter against the Miami Dolphins. And I know a lot of Bills fans are irritated about that. And of course, as soon as he gets the ball, he rips off a 9-yard run. I think they are more confident in Frank Gore's ability to pick up yardage. And they're still easing Singletary into the game, especially because he was gone for so long. I hope that they continue to bring him along and use him more and more in the running game. Just for the record, he was a clear number two to Frank Gore in snaps. Gore had 30 snaps. Singletary had 22. So that was 54% to 39%. The Bills really didn't run a whole lot of plays on offense, only 56, because of that really long Dolphins drive to start the third quarter that took more than half of that quarter. They just didn't run a lot of plays. And then even on, was it the Bills' second drive of the second half, you know, they got the ball at the 15-yard line or whatever it was, and so they didn't run a lot of plays on that drive either. So just not a lot of opportunity in this game for Singletary as they ease him back into the offense. like I said, he didn't get a carry until the second quarter, so that I think needs to change. They need to start sprinkling him in a little bit more throughout the game, and it seems like they're always waiting, and then try to unleash him later in the game after Frank Gore has kind of tenderized the defense or something like that. And maybe that's their plan, and they don't want to deviate from it. So we'll have to see coming down the stretch. Thanks for your question on Twitter, at RumblingsQ&A. Back to Twitter, Scott Fletcher tweets us at RumblingsQ&A. When you go into a no wide receiver set with 5 minutes left in the game and run the ball three times, and Miami knew they were running and still had timeouts left, I honestly don't know what McDermott was thinking. Well, I know what he was thinking, is that the Bills were trying to run off the clock. So let's recap. The Bills get the ball back with 4:59, so right at the five-minute mark, like you said. They went Frank Gore for 2 yards, Miami timeout. Frank Gore for 1 yard, timeout. Devin Singletary, right tackle, for 3 yards. No timeout because Miami's now out of timeouts. Miami gets the ball back with 4 minutes left. And they're down by 10 points. Yeah, it's Buffalo 24, Miami 14. So with no timeouts, now the Miami Dolphins have to score, probably kick an onside kick, recover that, and then score again to win the game. The Bills, I mean, you're not going to hear me argue that the Bills shouldn't have thrown a pass there. If you want, the Bills can throw a pass on second down, a high percentage play, something like that. But by robbing the Dolphins of their remaining timeouts, Buffalo said, okay, you have to score twice in 4 minutes with no timeouts against our defense. So it was on the conservative side, but it certainly wasn't on the ultra conservative side. The Bills were milking the clock trying to win the game. Actually, what I tweeted at the time was I thought it was stupid for Miami to even give the Bills the ball back with 5 minutes left because I didn't think they were going to get the ball twice. And if Micah Hyde had gone down at the 4 yard line instead of scoring a touchdown, that's exactly what would have happened. But Micah Hyde scored a touchdown. I do not blame him for that. That's fine. But that's the only reason the Dolphins got the ball back twice after they punted with 5 minutes left. So I thought it was a much worse decision on the Miami Dolphins part than it was on Sean McDermott's part to go for the run plays with 5 minutes left and Miami only having two timeouts remaining. They were able to run a minute off the clock and essentially ensure that they were going to win the game. Thanks for your question at RumblingsQ&A. Lots of questions on the Bills and Bills fans' psyche today after the Bills go to 5-1. But at Mighty People on Twitter asks us, the Bills, am I allowed to feel excited? When does the 5-1 is just the beginning of the 5-11 dread start to go away? So essentially, like, you know, is the sky falling? When can we start actually being excited about this team? I think that even if they lose to the Eagles, even if they, you know, struggle over the, you know, on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys and don't play well against the Patriots, they're gonna have good games. I think the dread is gonna go away when you start to look at the rest of the AFC and see that the entire AFC is down this year or inconsistent this year. The dread is going to go away when we look up in a few weeks and the Bills have a couple more wins and we're heading into that Thanksgiving game with national publicity and national attention and whatever it's going to be, 8-9 wins, something like that. And the Bills are going to be legitimate playoff contenders on Thanksgiving when you're eating your turkey and your mashed potatoes and your gravy and whatever else you're eating, stuffing, on Thanksgiving. And, you know, maybe they lay an egg that day. I don't really know. But I think that going into that game and not seeing their name at the bottom right-hand side of the screen on the In the Hunt graphic and seeing it, like, firmly inside that wild card position, probably a game or two up on the sixth place team in the wild card hunt, is probably going to be enough for most Bills fans to be satisfied, not just, you know, with their turkey dinner, but also with where the Bills are heading into the final month of the season. Thanks for your question at Rumblings Q&A. Wow, I sort of feel like a psychiatrist today. Thanks for everyone who called in or tweeted us their questions for this week. As always, you can submit yours for next week, 716-508-0405. Tweet us at RumblingsQ&A on Twitter. You can send us Instagram messages, Facebook messages. Leave questions in the comments section at buffalorumblings.com. Email us using buffalorumblings@sbnation.com. There's lots of ways to get in touch with the show. As the Bills host the Philadelphia Eagles in the middle of this three-game homestand, they only have three games left against teams with a winning record as of right now. Go Bills.